One of the most rewarding things which I have done in my life, I think I could say, would be teaching. I especially enjoy teaching subjects or topics which I am most convicted about. But, you know, being convicted means first having a thorough, growing knowledge and never remaining stagnant, so that with this knowledge, conviction emerges. In the teacher-student relationship, it is important that the teacher teaches with conviction. In such a relationship, the student remains the student, and the teacher remains the teacher, even though the teacher often learns from the student also. To be sure, the teacher never is able to transfer all of his or her knowledge and wisdom to the student. And sometimes that's very frustrating. In this, the student can never be above the teacher, though, while in that relationship. Now, the dedicated teacher always tries to be as thorough as possible and never intentionally withholds any information out of the fear that the student will know as much as the teacher. In fact, the good teacher rejoices in the fact that the student is committed to further the knowledge of the subject upon graduating from the teacher's endeavors, and maybe become even more knowledgeable than his former teacher. Even though all of this happens, the student goes on to prominence, there is still that respect and honor given to the original teacher by the student. The teacher will always be a part of the student's life and will exemplify the teacher's life and teachings. Now, this is exactly what Jesus was to his disciples. In our gospel lesson, he had just commissioned them to proclaim the kingdom of God, heal the sick, raise the dead. They were to exemplify what he had taught and what he had lived, but never waver as the result of outside influences. He said, a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. The disciple or student is to be a true reflection of the teacher. And in this case, Jesus. Jesus not only prepared his disciples for their mission with the knowledge of the kingdom of God, but also for the sacrifices which would be necessary in being his students and his emissaries. The teaching process in and of itself demands sacrifice. In reality, the teacher has to make sacrifices by spending time and effort in preparation and in all the teaching processes. In return, the student must make equal sacrifices in order to learn. Some say sleeping on a book transfers the knowledge, but it doesn't. More important, if the message of the teacher brings with it sacrifices in life, so too for the student who believes the teacher, that student will ultimately face the same sacrifices as that teacher. This was most certainly true with Jesus and his disciples. Now, for the student to believe the teacher, there is no way out of living the realities of being a student, and in this case, a disciple of Jesus. Jesus' teachings not only involve the foretelling of the cross, but also the reality that when a message of drastic change in life is proclaimed, opposition and repercussions will follow. When faced with the inevitable opposition, it is so tempting to gloss over that which we were originally taught. It is so easy to fall into the trap of compromise and then rationalization in order to justify the compromise. Thus, our beliefs or what we learned are no longer valid. We didn't change anything, especially ourselves. And to say the least, we are no longer a true student. Jesus demanded his disciples, his students, to be steadfast, immovable, and even unrelenting. Now, what I say to you in the dark, that is in our private conversations. Tell in the light, that is, tell it in openly. And what you hear whispered, that is in private conversations. Proclaim from the housetops, that is, make it public. In other words, do not be afraid or ashamed of what you have been taught and what then you believe. Do not hide it or compromise it, but live it so that everyone can see and benefit from the message you now give. In this, Jesus tells us not to be naive. Don't be naive. His message will place us in many difficult situations, demanding sacrifice and the associated fears. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul. Basically, no one can destroy the very soul of our lives, our beliefs. Nobody else. They are destroyed only when we allow them to be destroyed. We constantly have the choice throughout life of living our convictions in God's message or to compromise them. Compromising will destroy our very soul. If we do not allow our souls to be destroyed, then they are eternal. Now comes one of the most difficult passages for many to comprehend and accept. Does it make any sense whatsoever? It seems to contradict the core message of God's love. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Gosh. Is this the message of love and peace? Is this a contradiction to the good news of Jesus? On the surface, the answer may be no, it is not a message of love and peace. Yes, it contradicts the good news of Jesus. But that's on the surface. It is necessary to go much deeper. Jesus was a realist. He was telling his disciples that in proclaiming his message, they would probably be at odds with the authorities and society in general. And they would most likely even be at odds with family traditions and religious practices. In reality, in order to live this life in Christ, may often separate family members who don't understand, nor are they willing to understand, no less accept any changes in life. Let's not be naive. It happens. How many families have been torn apart because of mixed marriages, involving different religions, races, nationalities, social standards, no less politics? Change can cause conflict and therefore often resistance. Getting to the heart of it, conviction almost always demands change. And the advancement of humankind always demands change, which in turn is feared and resisted. Life then almost becomes a catch-22. The repercussions can be devastating. One only has to look back to the Civil War, in which convictions pitted father against son, brother against brother, and so on. This reality of mankind is so evident today. Conviction and change most often comes with a terrible price to pay. The nature of conviction supersedes anything else, even the love of family, especially when that love demands the compromise of the convictions of one's very soul. Compromises the convictions of God's love, that love which we share with each other. But then Jesus goes on even further. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Ah, boy, how harsh can you get? You know, harsh maybe. But the reality of it is that God's message of love, forgiveness, and peace may be a threat to others, even family members. If this love of family places such demands on us as to compromise our life in Christ, then our very souls are at stake. We cannot waver, for ultimately this uncompromised love may not only be our salvation, but the salvation of others to whom we witness. Yes, through all, conflicts may arise, but it is important to sift through the conflict with tolerance of what is not essential, but uncompromising to what is essential, and that is God's message through Jesus. By the way, when we have God's love within us, we will naturally love others regardless of who they may be, or even how they may think. That love is abundant. Thus, it is important in understanding the seemingly negative message of Jesus to see the realities and the truths behind it. We may not be appreciated for what we believe. We may not be appreciated for how we live. Nor will we always find that living this life will always be peaceful. What we will have, though, is the assurance of God will be there to lean on. For we are not lost in the sight of God. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. With this assurance, we are not to fear, but rejoice in living our convictions in Jesus' message of love. It is essential that this commitment to God's message through Jesus continue to grow and not be compromised, even though there may be barriers and even though it may cause conflict within and without. The inner conflict will be settled so long as our core beliefs are not jeopardized by the ambitions and wishes of others for us. We must remember the ultimate joy of life, regardless of any sacrifice or even conflict, is to live God's love and forgiveness, be it within the family, among neighbors, or within the fellowship of believers, or among friends and even strangers. Turmoil and sacrifice may and will occur in life. Our convictions may be challenged. But the measure of our faith, our very well-being, is how we live our lives in Christ. How we live the life in Christ will be the answer to how we will meet the challenges and the conflicts and the sacrifices. And we have the example in the life of Jesus, our teacher. We are not beyond the life he lived and beyond the sacrifices which we may face. We are not beyond the conflict which this life may cause. We are not beyond any of this. But to live that life in Christ, the rewards are so great, for they are founded in God's eternal love. Amen.